You're listening to Bison Report Radio.
It's going to be interesting to see how Richmond wants to play this in terms of what he does. He does want to go out and try to get some immediate help there.
The man, the myth, the legend, Greg Menard, rushing the passer from his right-end position as a senior, and I think a legitimate National Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio from Scout.com. Here's your host, Ryan Burns and Ross Uglum.
And welcome back to another edition of the BisonReport.com radio podcast. I know you're listening thinking, who is this voice? What is this podcast? It's been a month or two since I have last downloaded this onto my mobile device or am listening to this on my desktop. You are listening to this correctly. It is March. Yes, this is a BisonReport.com radio podcast. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Mr. Ross Uglum. Ross, I know we started out our phone call today with new phone, who dis. This is a podcast, and we are recording it, and it's been probably too long, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, there's no question about that. I feel badly that it's come to this.
It's been too long. We went the entire month of February without recording, but, you know, here we are now. So we have a lot to kind of get into with some basketball news. Unfortunately, the basketball team did not take an upturn in the month of February. We're also going to talk a little bit about the football. Obviously, the NFL Combine going on today and through the weekend, so we get to talk a little bit about Nick DeLuca. But, Ross, let's start things off with the news part of this podcast, talking about some award-winning performances from the season. Again, a season that didn't really go as planned. Now, again, I understand that the tournament is this weekend, starting on Sunday with Fort Wayne, but a 14-16 season. And even with that, Paul Miller still gets first team all week.
Well, and that's kind of, as I outlined in yesterday's piece, sort of been the problem is that, you know, Paul was excellent, but kind of everybody that wasn't Paul struggled up and down the roster this year. And they struggled to find consistency, really, from anyone but Miller. But his numbers were great, and his contribution to the team was definitely at a, you know, first team all league level. That's two first team all summits for Paul, which really caps off you know, an incredible career. The list of guys from NDSU that have been first team all league is short, and they are, you know, some fantastic players. Your Taylor Bronze, you know, I don't even think Lawrence Alexander accomplished that, because as a junior, I think he was either honorable mention, or potentially either honorable mention or second team. But I really don't think on the Taylor Braun, Marshall Bjorklund team of 13-14, LA was first team. So it might just be Winkleman, Woodside, and potentially Paul Miller.
And another guy that you looked that got
Taylor Braun too.
Yeah. And another guy that we kind of need to touch on here is Cameron Hunter, redshirted last year. We were clamoring him to start throughout this podcast, throughout the season, and now he is first team, all newcomer. You look at his stats from the season, averaging 9 points a game. He's averaging just over three rebounds a game, shooting over 75% free throw line, 43% from deep. Cameron Hunter going from not even starting to start the season to first team, all newcomer, is a great way. Another positive step for the future of this program. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I talked a little bit about Cam. Definitely would have looked for more consistency. Definitely got us excited the day of the national championship game for football. You go in to the defending regular season league champions place. That's, you know, obviously University of South Dakota. You go down to Vermillion and you drop 35 as a freshman. That set an incredible tone for the rest of the season, and it was an incredible tone that wasn't necessarily followed up. And it's not that Cam had a bad season. Obviously, all newcomers, great. But there was not a consistent level of production that you could count on night in and night out from Cam. And I know that's something that they, you know, would have liked to have night in, night out. And honestly, and it's something we'll talk about in a little while, it's something that they probably would have gotten from Kai Cabellis.
Yeah, that is something that obviously Ross outlined in his piece. If you want to read his piece, before we kind of get into it a little bit later here on the podcast, head on over to the Bison Report. It is the lead story today. Again, bisonreport.com. So when we look at the Summit League tournament coming to fruition, NDSU opens up with Fort Wayne on Sunday night. Fort Wayne being a 7-7 team in the season. In conference play, NDSU 5-9. When you look at this matchup coming up on Sunday night, Ross, what do you think Bison fans can expect?
Well, I've talked to a couple different people and I've said sort of the same thing, which is that I do anticipate NDSU probably winning the game on Sunday. I think they were a better team than Fort Wayne the first time they played. Happened to, take the loss there, but they were up 15 in Fort Wayne. I think they're a little bit better. I think the big part about that game is just how reliant Fort Wayne, especially when they've played NDSU, has been on the three, and frankly, which is not, because NDSU shoots a lot of threes too, but in that gym, I like NDSU's ability to create with Miller and with the Cameron Hunter floaters and the A.J. Jacobson runs to the rim, even Dangu getting a few buckets, then just Bryson Scott and Kaysen Harrell casting threes in an unfamiliar gym, kind of a bigger stadium. You always check during March Madness kind of how teams are shooting the ball in unfamiliar territories, and that is something that is definitely going to be the case in Sioux Falls. It's going to be unfamiliar territory for everybody. Yes, they've had the tournament there for a couple of years, but your home gym is your home gym. And I anticipate NDSU being able to score the ball in unconventional ways, besides just the three-pointer, better than I would anticipate Fort Wayne being able to score the ball.
And I believe, folks, if you're going to be heading down Sunday night, you're going to be able to see Ross covering the tournament live for the Bison Report. Is that correct, Ross?
Yeah, I'll be there. Been fortunate enough to go there for, the last decade or so and been able to do it professionally for the last 3 years. So very excited to be down there. Get to see everybody again. There's guys, the Summit League, a lot of the same coaches, work for other teams. Kyan used to coach at Oral Roberts, Coach Hendo for South Dakota State, of course, used to coach with Coach Richmond here at North Dakota State. There's lots of people that you've met kind of in the time of being around the Summit that are now with someone else or that you just get to see at the tournament. So it should be a ton of fun, and it's something that I enjoy every single year when I go down there.
All right, so let's kind of switch to football recruiting again, basically the bread and butter of kind of the Bison Report. Again, we do a lot of basketball and football analysis with Ross, me being the recruiting side of things. It's been a lot to kind of get into in the last six, eight weeks here. Again, the big news being the four signees from the late signing period or the traditional signing period on that first Wednesday of February. You look at the guys, Zach Mathis, a 6'6" wide receiver from Berkeley Prep in Tampa, Florida. Again, maybe this is our Sean Engel that we thought Sean was going to be before. Unfortunately, some circumstances arose and Sean is no longer with the program. So, again, not every day that you get a 6'6" wide receiver coming up to Fargo. Hopefully he's going to be a red zone threat earlier than later. Then we also can get into Mr. Jazeer Cox, the younger brother of Jabril Cox. Now, again, folks, I don't want you expecting him to be Jabril. Jabril is someone that has obviously had a fantastic season for the Bison. I don't think Jazeer is going to be that immediate impact of a player. He's certainly going to be a very good athlete for the Bison defense and Coach Entz. Now we're going to see how quickly he can get up to speed on things. I don't think, it'll be as quickly as Jabril. But, again, adding him to a very deep defense is going to get even more athletic. You look at Juan A. Tillman from Winter Park, Florida, someone that can really bring it downhill. Now he's not the biggest guy in the world. We have him listed at 5'11", 195. Not exactly the world's biggest or longest linebacker, but someone I know that this coaching staff is very high on. And then we can end things out with Kenneth Chamel, a 5'9", 5'10" wide receiver, 165 pounds, a jitterbug of sorts. Again, someone get the ball in his hands, you can see him go from there. Since then, if you've been following us on social media or if you've been heading on over to the Bison Report, we've had three or four stories every week about kids either receiving North Dakota State offers or just coming off an NDSU visit. So that 2019 Recruiting period is obviously alive and open. I'm not really expecting the Bison to get too many commitments here before the camps in the summer. Now, I was telling Ross in the pre-production meeting, Trey Lance being the first one to commit last year. I believe that was in May. So, again, that's kind of the time period you're looking for, unless really he's a Dakota kid or he's really bought in to the North Dakota State program. So we're going to have to see how that all plays out. But, Ross, speaking of things that we really need to get into, you did back in January now release your way too early football preview. It's been live for quite a while. I know that it was one of the most visited pieces that we've had in quite some time. Why don't you kind of get into what folks can expect coming off a national championship season?
Well, I think they should be really, really excited. And that kind of goes without saying with Bison football, the way that they've been able to, compete probably isn't even the right word to dominate the FCS level is truly incredible. And I think you would expect at some point for there to be a drop off. But what I'll tell you is that drop off is not coming in the next season. People that pay attention to the football work that I do, whether it's professional or at the collegiate level, it doesn't matter. I love pass rush and I love pass defense in general. And these guys, these Bison, have the chance to be one of, if not the best pass defense that North Dakota State has ever had. They are incredibly deep at cornerback. They are going to be incredibly deep at defensive end. And NDSU, just from a schematic standpoint, from an athletic standpoint, from a strength standpoint, I don't think you really ever need to worry about them from a run defense. You know, they're going to be able to stop the run, whether it's, like I said, from, Kleiman's scheme or just his natural ability to get these guys with Kramer and, put weight on them. They're going to be strong enough to defend the run. They always have been. I feel like they always will be. The run is not a concern for me, but these guys, man, Greg Menard, Caleb Butler, Derek Tuska, Stanley Jones, even Cole Karch as a three technique pass rusher, they really have a chance to be special. And, that's high praise because they've had guys, like a Kyle Emanuel come in to the program and then end up being drafted as a pass rusher. They have had incredible athletes up and down the program, guys that have been able to get after the QB. But they haven't had a ton of guys with the ability of Greg Menard. And they haven't had a ton of guys, I don't think, around Greg or around their top pass rusher with the ability that Derek Tuska showed last season. I'm really, really excited about getting to cover next year's team and watching that defense. And then on offense, I think they'll actually be better. I think you bring all those running backs back, you add probably their most talented offensive lineman and Dylan Radins to an offensive line that was already pretty darn good. And, the sky is the absolute limit for next year's team. The year after that, though, will create a ton of intrigue, especially, with the quarterback situation, because it's been a long, long time since NDSU has had a question mark as to who's going to be, the next guy. And they do. They absolutely have a question because – there is no Easton Stick waiting in the wings. It's going to be a three-man dance between Trey Lance, Noah Sanders, and Holden Hotchkiss, and that's going to be really fun to cover. But we've got one more year of what I think is an NFL caliber quarterback in Easton Stick, and that is definitely something to be excited about.
Another thing I kind of want to pick your brain about is the wide receiver position. You mentioned it in your piece, no more R.J. Erzendowski. There's going to have to be a new kind of go-to target there. Do you think that it really could be Christian Watson that could step up, or who do you think kind of slides into the Erzendowski role?
I think Christian Watson is the number one receiver going into next year from, kind of the more traditional standpoint of outside guy on the numbers. There are plenty of talented talented guys, you know, within Darius Shepherd, Dimitri Williams. But those are guys that you're going to run jet sweeps with. Those are guys that you're going to try and, you know, do slot action things with. Not necessarily number one outside wide receivers. And I tell you what, you don't hear a ton of hype from this coaching staff. The last guy I heard a ton of hype about was probably Jabril Cox, and you all saw how that
– or even Dylan Radins. I mean, you saw how right. dominant he was before he went out as well. So I think when NDS – when we hear things from sources close to the program, Ross, it's probably a good thing to listen to.
100%. Yes, you're absolutely right. And that, you know, it's a huge deal. They are not a staff that is going to over and over again, you know, make crazy claims about this kid or that kid and oh, he's, you know, going to tear up the league. When they tell you that a kid is going to tear up the league, pay attention because they generally don't. they generally will, you know, talk about, well, he's got a lot to learn. Our system's very complicated. You'll hear a ton of those qualifiers, and they're all true. There's none of it that's, you know, kind of coach speak. There is a ton to learn to be a part of NDSU's system, but the raving that I've heard about about Watson is legitimate. And I mentioned it when I was down on the field at the national championship game, just how different he looked athletically from NDSU's other receivers. And again, it's nothing against those receivers, but he was just, you know, bigger. He had that NFL body, and I said, who in the world? I think it was number two. I'm not 100% sure just because it's been a while, you know, since Frisco, but I was like, man, who's wearing number two? And I think it was Greg Menard even that I was talking to, who obviously wasn't in uniform for that game because of the ACL. And he just said, hey, that's, you know, that's Christian Watson. And the staff is just so excited. And I think they have probably reason to be.
All right. So let's talk about Nick DeLuca now in the rest of kind of the pro prospects. We are in NFL Combine season. Ross, you are doing a lot of different things for on the NFL draft, the NFL Combine, for your Packer work. So you are as in tune, especially with these NDSU athletes, as anybody. So let's start with Nick DeLuca at the Combine here this weekend. What do you think folks should expect to see from measurables, from the different on-the-field work, and where do you ultimately think Nick DeLuca goes?
I think Nick's a mid-round guy, third, fourth, fifth round, something like that. You know, just kind of in general of late, the linebacker position, the traditional linebacker position that he plays, has not been as important or as highly drafted, I guess, is probably a better word than important. Truthfully, you know, teams have been focusing on hybrid players that can play a little safety and a little bit of linebacker. There's been just a kind of a different focus from top to bottom from a linebacker perspective, but he is that pro guy. You know, he 6'3", 249, I always say runs like a deer, but it's not that much of a joke. I mean, he really is a freak athletically, and I think the kind of guy that you are going to look at if you are a pro team to be that down the field linebacker in cover two, and potentially even a team that runs a 3-4 being that chase linebacker because of his ability to get down the middle of the field and, you know, really provide a lot of ability to cover the pass. And he's an excellent blitzer as well. He's got a lot of things going for him in this NFL, and it's incredibly important.
So when you kind of look at some of the other NDSU guys that are graduating from this championship team, do you think any of them are going to pursue professional careers? And if so, again, there is a pretty good history of UDFAs with this NDSU program. Which guys should people kind of focus in?
Yeah, I think there's a real good shot. I think you definitely look at a guy like you look at a guy like Trey Dempsey, who has signed with an agent. I think, you know, he has tremendous potential to be someone who makes it at the next level in a long line of UDFAs. I think, you know, even really a guy like Nate Tangway was probably an NFL prospect before he got hurt. I would pay attention to what he does at North Dakota State's pro day. I would definitely I would definitely anticipate that he at the very least participates. I would say that Chris Board, if he chooses to participate in the pro day, will really see his stock rise and maybe even get a camp invite just because he is so impressive physically. And then, you know, if the Patriots are looking, maybe RJ Zendowski is interested in a shot at the NFL as well. But Austin Kuhnert's a guy I think that was always going to try. He's a guy that went to an all-star game. I would believe he signed with an agent as well. So those would be the guys I'd pay attention to. I think Dempsey is a guaranteed undrafted free agent. I would say that Kuhnert is a guaranteed undrafted free agent. I would say that RJ has a chance if he's interested. And I would say that DeLuca is a mid-round pick. Outside of that, I would guess that there are a couple of other guys like Ilias and Wentz that could, you know, potentially give it a shot at the pro day. Nate Tangway will likely give it a shot at the pro day. But the real guys I would pay attention to from this group would be Kuhnert, Dempsey, and then I really firmly believe that DeLuca will be drafted.
Sounds good to me. So, folks, again, that's who you should be honing in on. Now let's switch back to some basketball to kind of wrap things up for today, Ross. What happened to this basketball squad? I mean, we look at the month of February specifically, 2-6, not the greatest of things, especially at home. Again, only two home games in the month of February, and the Bison go 1-2 in those matchups. Just weren't able to kind of put it together here down the stretch. And again, I know you outlined this in your piece that is live on the Bison Report today. And again, please head on over and check it out, folks. But is it really just the inconsistency, or what do you think kind of put this team down? Because Peace Move was there basically all season. I just don't know if he ever got enough help in each and every one of these games here down the stretch.
Yeah, I you know, it's tough. A lot of people, I would say, would probably just tell you that, you know, they weren't good enough. North Dakota State just wasn't good enough. But and then obviously, you know, if you say that, then inconsistency is kind of a cop out. But I really do believe that that was the main issue, was their inability to be consistent, and it's guys that weren't Paul Miller. And I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to put blame here, there, or anywhere else. But when you look at the ability to produce night in and night out, NDSU had one guy who did that, and it was our guy, Paul Miller, Mr. P. Smoove. He was the guy from a consistency perspective. Everybody else had their moments, but really struggled to bring it night in and night out, and it's something that you absolutely just need to have if you're going to compete in this league. The Summit's a consistently underrated league, and it's definitely, you know, a league that you have to bring it night in and night out. It's become a very transient league. What I mean by that is they have absolutely, you know, no problem bringing in transfers. The best teams in this conference are bringing in transfers all the time, and it's not a knock on those programs. I have, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's cheap or dirty to improve your team and your program that way, but it's the reality of the Summit League at this time. And until, you know, something changes, it's going to continue to be the reality of the Summit League. So whether it's a route that maybe Richmond has to pay a little bit more attention to, that's possible. But until, you know, the foundation of NDSU's program stops being high school seniors, you might have thinner years like this. And it was something that Richmond, you know, talked about really priding himself on never having. But it was probably unlikely to continue to just win 20 games every year pulling high school seniors, as opposed to the, you know, transfer route, as opposed to a lot of different ways as far as even junior college kids that teams are pulling in. And you see that when he goes after such a highly thought of junior college guy like a Vinny Shahid, who put up some absolutely ridiculous numbers in JUCO this year from a shooting percentage, and has me extremely excited about the point guard situation next year.
And somebody you touched on in your piece, Kai Cabellis, again, no longer with the program, but you mentioned it. You know, he logged over 1,900 minutes in his first 2 years of the program. Now he's no longer here. Now you talk about Dexter Warner as well, gave NDSU some fantastic years. He's no longer here. And when you lose those two guys, you need somebody to step up, and you outline it again in this piece. There have been times where A.J. Jacobson, again, he's played 25-plus minutes in basically every game this season. He's got six games with 14 points or more. But if you are going to be playing 25-plus minutes, you can't have nine outings of five or fewer points. So how much do you think of it as the loss of Kai Cabellis and Dexter Warner and just other guys not helping Paul kind of step up?
I think the loss of Kai was huge, and I think you absolutely saw it night in and night out. And it's not that Cameron Hunter's not a good player. Cameron Hunter's a very good player. I think he's going to be remembered as such as a Bison, you know, kind of after his career is done. I think that he is potentially going to be a special talent, especially with what he's been able to put on record and on film already. But was he ready to be the 30-minute-a-night guy that Kai Cabellis was forever and ever? Probably not. And that showed. I don't know what to tell you other than when you have a kid that has put that much time and effort and really excellence into a program, no, it's not going to go as well when he's not there. That is common sense. So I just don't know what else to tell you.
All right. Anything else you kind of want to touch on with this team before we kind of get into the Summit League tournament this weekend?
Not necessarily. No, I think what you've seen is the ability to win big games, and you've also seen the ability to lose games. And that might not sound like incredibly brilliant analysis, but it's just the reality of this roster and the reality of what has gone on all season long, unfortunately. And you hope that they catch lightning in a bottle. And that's really what my piece was about. The fact that this team has all the ability in the world to go on a run. They also very much have the ability to lose by 20 points and to send me home right away on Sunday night. So you hope for the former. You hope that they compete and that things go well, but you're ready for the idea that maybe they won't.
All right, so let's kind of get into the Summit League tournament preview. You kind of look at the top two teams in the league and conference play, South Dakota State, South Dakota. Is that the way you're thinking this kind of tournament is going to shake out, or what are your kind of immediate thoughts you're heading into this weekend?
Yeah, my long-term thoughts with this tournament would definitely be, that it's likely North Dakota State wins the game on Sunday and then loses to South Dakota State. Just too much Mike Dom. He's too good. He's too skilled. And I don't think that they're going to have a ton of answers for him. I just would really, doubt that on a consistent basis they're going to be able to control him with the interior defenders that they have. And like I said, my money's on South Dakota State. I know USD has a win over South Dakota State this season. I know USD is a very capable team and a capable program, but I don't see them beating South Dakota State in a big moment like that close to Brookings. Unless North Dakota State's already beaten SDSU, and they swept a very similar roster a season ago, did the Bison. But you know, to say that that's likely, I think would probably be a stretch.
Well, if NDSU is going to pull off that upset over South Dakota State, they're certainly going to need a performance like they got from Paul Miller last time, going 36 points and 7 of 11 from three. So anything else you kind of want to touch on before we wrap it up for today, Ross?
No, sir.
All right, sounds good, folks. I appreciate you guys listening again. We know that it's been far too long since Ross and I have been able to record, but we got this episode out to you guys today. And again, if you can, please head on over to thebisonreport.com. Check out Ross's Way Too Early football preview if you haven't already. Kind of gloss over it again. I know we're in March. Spring ball is going to be heading up here soon. You want to get kind of the latest and greatest. And again, just won a national championship. What to expect now in 2018 on the Bison Report there as well. And then heading into this weekend, Summit League tournament, read Ross's piece about this basketball team and what to kind of expect heading into the fourth game. So we thank you guys for listening once again, and go Bison.